This is a public service announcement brought to you by the Truth State. Do you have haters? I mean people who really, really hate your guts. People who all they do is talk about you. All they do is lie and curse your very existence. And all they do is try to destroy you with every word that comes out of their mouth. How does one deal with these people? Well, recently, Donald J. Trump was asked a question from a reporter about a comment made by recently minted Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez about his character. And here was the following response.
Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez.
Who did?
Congresswoman
Ocasio-Cortez.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter!
Charlotte, North Carolina, say you can chase a lot all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands. And we're taking a stand here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I am behind, as always, the Dell Inspiron Laptop 6 whatever whatever. Also in front of that would be the Galaxy Tab S4. Also to the right of me, no, actually to the left of me, I have the always reliable, always trusty Pixel 2 XL on airplane mode. I have called my father, I've called the important people in my life, and let them know for the next 2 hours I am not to be disturbed. Because I am doing the Truth Stand podcast here from Charlotte, North Carolina, and you are hearing the dulcet tones, although under the weather, of your boy the Luminary, you are hearing the dulcet tones of me behind the platinum blue microphone as always. What are we doing today? This is the Truth Stand, the Sunday edition. Sorry, I meant to bring to you two other podcasts this week, but as you can probably tell, I am a little under the weather. My throat's a little hoarse. It's a little parched. I think I fought the cold with a good fight. I never really got really, truly sick, but I was coughing all week. And I have been waiting for this yellow and green stuff. You know that garbage that gets in your throat? I've been waiting for all that crap to get out of me. And I think I am mostly there. So I decided I need to do this because you haven't heard from me in 7 days. And you need to hear from me. So this is a combo. I'm going to do the Truth Blitz, which is a show that I've done where I basically just run through a bunch of articles. Maybe spend 15 to 20 minutes total, and that's it. Then we do the Sunday podcast, which is much more expansive, when I talk about more things and I talk about it more in depth. But today, because you did not get the Truth Blitz this week, I'm going to combine them both. With that being said, so welcome to the Truth Stand. I have hosted 7 podcasts so far. I have the Quickie Truth in addition to that and the Truth Blitz. So you can go to thetruthstand.org. That is T-H-E-T-R-U-T-H-S-A-T. Yeah. Let me do that again, people. T-H-E-T-R-U-T-H-S-T-A-N-D.org. I told y'all I was a little under the weather. Go to that website, listen to the podcast, download the podcast, and always, if you listen, you like it, you love it, you share it. So let's set the table. What do we got for today? We got a lot of Donald Trump today. A lot of Donald Trump today. Immigration, Nancy Pelosi. Oh, it's all going to hell in a handbasket. It's all going to hell in a handbasket. I told you 2019 was going to be a horrible political year. Horrible. And it's already getting off to a horrible start. We also have judges in this country that think because they are a federal judge that they can stop anything Donald Trump wants to do. We're going to talk about how yet another judge in Pennsylvania is trying to kill my religious freedom, trying to kill my religious right of expression, trying to force me and other people like me to do things that are against our conscience. We're going to talk about drag queens. We're going to talk about transgender fathers raising children. We're talking about other gay Christians hooking up with each other. We also got more bad pastor news. John Gray is at it again. John Gray is at it again. A disgraced reprobate from Greenville, South Carolina, at Relentless Christian Church, who is a contemporary and an associate of Joel Osteen. He's at it again. He's being exposed. The entire movement is being exposed, and they don't like it. We got Baptists sitting under popes. We got trends that are affecting Christianity and persecution. Oprah's mocking God. We got it all. We got it all. We got it all. This headline from Fox News. Trump denies Pelosi aircraft for a trip after call for State of the Union delay. So let me give you the background to this. So basically, there's this big shutdown, government shutdown. Well, it's really not that big of a shutdown, but regardless, that's the narrative that's out there. Big, huge shutdown, everybody's suffering, not really, but that's the narrative. So what's happening is that Trump wants $5 billion to fund a part of a wall to help protect the country from illegal immigration. Pelosi and the Democrats do not want the wall. And I'm going to tell you why shortly. But their typical excuses, we don't need the wall, it's inefficient, it's dated, it's immoral. That's the lie they're trying to tell you. So there's this big fight over the immigration and the wall and everything. And Trump is basically putting his foot down and saying, no, this will happen, because he knows he's not going to get a wall with a newly Democrat elected Congress. He knows that this is the only time he has. And so he has to do what he feels is in the best interest of the country. And I think it's in the best interest of the country. Think about it. What is so bad about having an immigration wall? A wall to protect us from illegal immigration. Not legal immigration, illegal immigration. People coming over illegally. Think about it. It's the only crime in America that people could get away with, or people coming from outside of America could get away with, and somehow it's moral and it's right for them to do so, just because some people want them in for selfish political reasons and business reasons. Let me tell you who those people are. Democrats. The Democrats want them here because they want a continuous underclass of people voting Democrat living off the government. These people that are illegally coming over, they are doing it because they know they cannot legally cross over because they don't qualify. Because they're probably poor, they're very, very needy, they don't have any support system over here. There's a whole lot to becoming a natural citizen to this country, and they know they don't qualify. So they sneak over through coyotes, they tell all sorts of lies, they say that they're seeking asylum, all these sort of things. And of course, this country is to blame because we have allowed it. We've catered to it. The Democrats, because they want a permanent underclass of voters always needing the government. Because guess what? These people are typically sick and they're poor. They're uneducated. And that's not being a racist. That's not stereotype. That's a fact. You know, their best and their brightest are not coming over here. And they're always going to be in need. Always, always, always. And then let them drop a baby in this country and they're here for life. Because that baby becomes a citizen just because they were born on natural soil. So this is why Trump is doing what he's doing. Oh, by the way, the Republicans also want these people here because they want them for cheap labor. The only people that really don't want them here are people who call themselves conservatives and people who call themselves constitutionalists and pro-American. So that sets the table for what I'm about to read here. Pelosi doesn't want a State of the Union address because she claims, oh, it's a security risk because of the shutdown. Now, the Director of Homeland Security and the Secret Service has said there's absolutely no security risk whatsoever. But that doesn't stop Pelosi, because the real reason why she doesn't want the State of the Union is because Donald Trump is very effective when he speaks to the American people. He is very effective. She says, we need to delay the State of the Union. And the real reason is because they really just don't want to hear what he has to say. So Trump says, okay, since you want to use that as a reason to call for a delay of the State of the Union, well then your trip to Afghanistan and to Egypt and to some other country that I can't remember right now, that's postponed as well, because you would have to go with our security, and because you stated it, well, I'm going to use that same reason and I'm denying you a trip. You and 100 other people. Now, this trip that was supposed to be going to Egypt and Afghanistan and Brussels is the other country. He said, no, you can't do that. If I can't have my State of the Union, you can't fly on your trip. Now, you got the Republicans, some of them.
Oh my God, you can't be that childish. Oh my God.
Really? That's why Republicans lose all the time. Because Republicans eat their own. With that being said, I loved President Trump's letter. Here's the letter. And by the way, this was done almost an hour prior to when all these 100 people, probably mostly Democrats, were supposed to leave. Here's the letter. Due to the shutdown, I am sorry to inform you that your trip to Brussels, Egypt, and Afghanistan has been postponed. We will reschedule this 7-day excursion when the shutdown is over. In light of the 800,000 great American workers not receiving pay, I am sure you would agree that postponing this public relations event is totally appropriate. I also feel during this period, it would be better if you were in Washington negotiating with me and joining the strong border security movement to end the shutdown. Obviously, if you would like to make your journey flying commercial, that would certainly be your prerogative. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's incredible stuff. Incredible stuff.
Yeah! What? Okay!
Now, see, that's how you do it. That's how you lead. That's what strong leadership looks like. That's exactly what strong leadership looks like. And by the tone of my voice, yes, I am definitely a Trump supporter. Definitely a Trump supporter. So you can take it and shove it. If you don't like it, whatever. I don't care. Because I support this president. I support him. With that being said, it is illogical to not want a border wall. It is absolutely illogical to not want some sort of deterrent. Because the wall is more than just a wall. It's a symbol as well. It's a deterrent from afar. Sure, we have other technology. Sure, we have other things that can be used instead, and it can be used in conjunction. That's perfectly fine. People have houses that have walls, it has a roof, and it has a door, and they have multiple doors, actually, and they have locks. Why? It's to keep undesirables out. And yes, I said it. People who are illegal, who are poor, who are sick, in all sorts of need, they are not wanted if they are coming here illegally, okay? It's not that we don't care, but you got to maintain national sovereignty. You cannot just let anybody in your house. For all of you who say things like that, well, what I want you to do is put a sign out in your front yard and say, any vagrant and hobo is welcome to come into my house, eat up all my food, and spend all my money. I want you to go to sleep at night. I want you to take the door off the hinges and just let anybody walk in. That's the same thing. It doesn't matter if you have an alarm system. You don't have a deterrent for someone coming to your house. Why do you lock your door for your car? As a deterrent. Do you know most people, when they try to break into cars or break into houses, what their number one technique is? Just to walk around and just turn the doorknob to see if it would open. Or to just pull the door handle to see if it opens. If it does, free entry. If not, so be it. They just keep moving. Why? Because they don't want that trouble. They don't want that hassle. Federal judge issues national injunction, stops Trump's new religious exemption rules on birth control. A Philadelphia federal judge has issued an injunction to stop Trump's administration rules, which would broaden religious exemptions for birth control mandate in health insurance plans from going in effect Monday. Now, background. President Obama, number 44, what he did was that he, through the Obamacare legislation, had a mandate that said that all these religious institutions are no longer exempt from not providing birth control or contraception if it is against their conscience. He says, you must do it because it's a woman's health issue. It's a women's health issue. And that was supposed to go into effect this past Monday. And so what happened was Trump created rules that would broaden religious exemptions. In other words, allows more freedom for religious organizations to say, I don't have to pay for contraceptives. So that is what's going on. According to the New York Times, U.S. Federal District Court Judge Wendy Beadlestone issued a nationwide injunction Monday to stop the Trump administration's contraception rules from going into effect only one day after a California federal judge issued a 13-state injunction, explained that the new rules would allow employers to choose if they would offer health care coverage that would include contraception based on their religious or moral values. The National Review reports only churches and small private employers are currently exempt from the Obama-era policy that requires all employers to provide health care coverage for birth control at no additional cost to the employee. So in other words, the Obama administration said that regardless of your, quote, religious exemption, regardless of the fact that you don't want to do it because you got some stupid religious credo that says you shouldn't, you got to do it anyway, unless you're a small business. And what Donald Trump was doing was trying to broaden that to include bigger businesses. But it didn't matter. Your religious beliefs don't matter. That's why I find it very interesting how we're always complaining about our liberties being taken away from us. Don't you get it? We don't have any liberties. If you're a Christian in this country, you don't have any real liberties. And guess what? You think I am exaggerating? You think I'm exaggerating? Just pay attention. Listen to my other podcast, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Now, that's enough for Donald Trump for now, but we're coming back to Donald Trump at the end of the program. There is this clip I need you to hear, because it's going to justify why Donald Trump calls CNN, MSNBC, fake news. And it's going to justify why he does all this tweeting. It's going to justify why he does all this trash talking he does. And I am going to defend him with this clip at the end of the show. With that being said, we got much, much more, much, much more. But right now, I'm going to take a break. You are listening to The Truth Stand.
Previously on The Truth Stand Sunday Edition. Number 7.
So, Lauren Daigle rebrands image as non-Christian artist.
Yeah! What?
Lauren Daigle, bro, has done more for the kingdom in a year. In a year than you will do in 5 lifetimes. I'm sorry.
Another one bites the dust, and another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, we're gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
You should just be celebrating, like, thank you, we love you. If you're not, then shut up.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
This here from Pulpit and Pen. Daigle recently arrived seductively on Ellen's program and then claimed she didn't know enough about the Bible to say whether or not homosexuality was a sin. Andy Stanley, by the way, is her pastor, so that makes sense. In spite of that, Charisma News, comedian John Crist, and many others have come out to support her as well-meaning but innocently ignorant believer. Now, Daigle says that she's not really a Christian star after all. She's repositioning herself as a mainstream star, predictably. According to Reformation Charlotte, amid the controversy in her celebrity life, she's now facing the reality of the consequences of her influence. She was recently interviewed on 104.3 MYFM, where she was asked if she considered herself to be a Christian artist. Quote, I feel like those labels get put on you by other people. I was reading articles, I read them here and there, and one of them said Christian artist, and the other one said just artist. But I think of me as just an artist because it encompasses everything. That's kind of how I see myself. Well, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. fact, I am back. You are listening to The Truth Stand from Charlotte, North Carolina. I am your host, Illuminary. Once again, you can listen to my podcast and any other podcast at thetruthstand.org. That is thetruthstand.org. And if you missed the first 16 minutes, it was explosive about Donald Trump and immigration for the most part. And then I covered a few other things. Now, with that being said, I just got a couple headlines. I got a couple headlines that just goes in the area of, we don't really need to comment. And here are those headlines. 10-year-old child drag star photographed posing with naked adult drag queen. Transgender dad is raising 5-year-old transgender child. Gay Christians seeking to hook up. Yes, there is an app for that. And I will comment on this one. Now, there is this movement in Christianity, or in a subculture of what is called Christianity. There's these people that are perpetually gay, unrepentant about their homosexuality, but yet they want to hold on to being called a Christian. Of course, this is an absolute abomination. With that being said, however, there are many churches that are excusing it. There are many churches who are just staying quiet. There are many churches who are giving their approval. And there's all sorts of internet movements saying that not only can we be gay, but we can be promiscuous. We can be out there just whoring around because Jesus was a slut and he whored around because he loved everybody. And I'm going to play a couple clips from a completely disgusting human being running a completely disgusting website that you're going to hear from that I did on a previous podcast, just to underscore it. But this article, Gay Christians Seeking to Hook Up, this is from ReformationCharlotte.org. ReformationCharlotte.org. In the wake of a major push for acceptance of homosexuality in the Christian community, particularly among left-leaning progressive denominations, a need has arisen for those professing to be Christians, yet still living a sexually deviant and immoral lifestyle to have easy access for, well, hookups. Currently in the works, called an app, or app is called Believer, that's spelled B-E-L-I-E-V-R, promises to fill that need. As it tells on its website, quote, Believer is a modern dating app for a community that celebrates what makes relationships special and expresses a basic human truth. We all want to be connected and loved, regardless of our background or preferences. It is described as an LGBT plus Christian community dating, where you can find connections, dates, and a life partner, where your faith and sexuality meet in a space of inclusion and diversity. We've created this app specifically for you. So that's the advertisement. So, disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And if you want to read the rest of that article, you can. That's once again at ReformationCharlotte.org. I plan on posting every article, as I do every Sunday. I plan on posting every one of these articles on the webpage so you can click on it so you can know exactly where I get everything from. But to underscore this article, I have a couple clips I need you to hear from.
Jesus is polyamorous. Yeah, you heard me right. Jesus is polyamorous. We know this already, though, even if we don't think about it or put it in those terms. If you're one of those Christians who believes in the importance of a personal relationship with Jesus, well, Jesus is having personal relationships with billions of other people, too. Jesus' polyamory goes beyond this personal relationship idea, though. It's deeper, biblical even. In Ephesians 5, Paul specifically uses the word marriage to describe Christ's relationship with us. Repeatedly, Paul reminds us that Jesus gave himself for us. Us, the church, which Paul describes as the whole body of believers. In this marriage, Jesus isn't married to one person, he's married to the entire body of believers. Jesus is in a pansexual, polyamorous relationship with us. And so, of course, Christians can be polyamorous. That's a biblical model of relationship. We already recognize that God's love for us isn't diminished by God's love for others, and that each of us can have a unique, transcendent relationship with the divine. Our relationship with God can be a model for our romantic and sexual relationships as well. You know how you feel when something good happens to someone you care about? When your friend, child, neighbor, or coworker connects with the divine? That's how I feel when my partners date or meet someone new or are just head over heels for someone else. How beautiful, how majestic that they get to have more love in their life. And how exciting that someone else gets to experience the amazingness of my partner. The word polyamory comes from poly and amorous, many loves. We all already have many loves. The question then becomes, how do you express that love? With whom? How do you do life? We want to help you sort through those questions. Is polyamory for me? How do I share with my church community that I'm in a polyamorous relationship? How do I talk with my partner about wanting an open relationship? How do I integrate polyamory with my faith? We see in Ephesians an understanding that marriage can be polyamorous, that Jesus is polyamorous with us, and so we know that it's possible. Of course, we also see other types of relationships in Scripture, some healthier than others, and no one has to be polyamorous. But it's one way of structuring relationships, and it can be a deeply faithful one. And so it is.
Yeah, so that clip you just heard was from a guy, his name is Sam Alberry of Living Out, which of course is a open gay church community leader. That's where that comes from. And they're hooking up, of course, with people like the Gospel Coalition and the Southern Baptist Convention. Exactly. It's disgusting and it's perverse and it's full of the devil. And I, for one, am absolutely sick and tired of these weak Christians promoting these things. By the way, speaking of Baptists, Baptists are now sitting underneath the Pope to be lectured about pursuing common ground. Once again, this is the one world religion that's trying to be set up. This is what ecumenism is. In a press release last week, it was reported that Steve Harmon, a representative of the Apostate Baptist World Alliance, or the BAWA, or the BWA, a theology professor at Gardner Webb, I hate theology professors, visited Rome to advance, quote, a common witness ideology. According to the report, Harmon visited with people to be lectured on Christian unity, where the Pope asked him to pray for him. Harmon reports he was impressed with the Pope's genuine joyfulness. The Pope said to them, "We must find a way to get together, or they will eat us raw." Harmon interpreted this to mean something like, if we don't find a way to live in unity, the enemies of the gospel eat us alive. And then this is from ReformationCharlotte.org, their comments on this article. Though the Roman Catholic Church holds to another gospel altogether, the BWA's continued efforts in ecumenical relationships with Rome seeking common ground prove to be nothing more than hot air. There is absolutely no common ground with the purveyors of a false gospel. We don't have nothing in common with people who worship the Virgin Mary and put her on the level of Christ, okay? We have absolutely nothing in common with those individuals. And all these individuals that are going there are supposed to be pastors, okay? Let me give you an example of an actual real pastor. Someone who's actually being persecuted as a pastor for standing up for godly things. If you want to believe in the pastorate to begin with. This here from Pulpit and Pen. Pastor who posted, quote, "Bruce Jenner is still a man," on a church sign is ousted as pastor by a bunch of weak little yellow belly spineless reprobates who are cowardly and who are not of the Lord. I said it. Yeah, I did it. It appears that the LGBT activists in a small California community have successfully put their target's head on a platter. Pastor Justin Hoke posted, "Bruce Jenner is still a man. Homosexuality is still a sin. The culture may change, but the Bible does not." On the church sign at Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church. Well, that's your problem, Presbyterian. That's been a liberal denomination as long as I can remember. That's some conservative strands, but for most part, they're liberal. LGBT activists swarmed the church last Sunday, claiming the sign was hateful. Later, activists vandalized the church sign. And today, Pastor Hulk announced that he was no longer the pastor at a church after an elder, some person in leadership, some spineless, yellow-bellied, gutless coward, asked him to resign following claims of potential mass exodus of a bunch of apostate, godless church members, a bunch of apostate, uncaring, unloving, undiscerning human beings who just want to be told how they can live their best life now, who don't want to stand for anything of the scriptures.
Those people threatened to leave the church, and so this other yellow belly elder asked this man of God, Justin Hoke, to leave. Let me get this straight. So we got a man in Pastor Hoke, who's a man of God, who made a cultural statement against the culture, and he has to go. But yet, this guy, John Gray, this reprobate, this absolute reprobate, this man who's absolutely unqualified in every way one could be unqualified to be a preacher, still has his preacher's gig, still making money, and according to this article from WSOCTV.com, has a $1.8 million house paid for by the church. Quote, pastor who said he did not use the church money when he bought his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini as an anniversary gift, lives in a $1.8 million house paid for by the church. Pastor John Gray, who leads megachurch Relentless Christian, is an associate pastor at Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church and has been widely criticized after spending $200,000 on a Lamborghini for his wife for an anniversary gift. He defended the lavish purchase by saying he is a husband, not a pastor. Well, he bought it as a husband, not a pastor. At the same time, Gray was living in a $1.8 million house purchased by the church in October. This isn't anything new, quote Travis Hayes, a chief financial officer of Relentless. Chief financial officer? So churches have CFOs now, like a corporation? This is what this guy, this complete propagandist, told the Greenville News. This is a practice that is done in every denomination in the nation. That is what it is. It is an asset that belongs to the church. Gray did not comment to the Greenville News. So this Travis Hayes, this is something that happens everywhere. I don't remember what pastor has a $1.8 million house paid for by the church. People might say, well, come on, brother. It's a parsonage. It's a parsonage. Oh, really? It's a parsonage, huh? I don't know any man of God, knowing that people are suffering the way they're suffering, would be sitting in a $1.8 million house that's bought by the church. No man deserves that unless you're making your own kind of money because you are a capitalist who owns an actual business. Then that's okay. I understand that. It's amazing. My throat's sore, but yet I'm yelling. I mean, this guy, we got one pastor standing up for the things of righteousness and the unrighteous. Yes, I said it, the unrighteous in that silly Presbyterian church. Threw him out. And yet this guy has been invited to relationship seminars to preach at relationship seminars. And this guy, nothing will happen to John Gray. His church isn't going to ask him to leave. Why? Because they think he's so full of the Spirit and that he knows how to cast out devils and make us more prosperous because he is of a Word of Faith charismatic movement. Whatever, man. You know what? This is why people mock Christianity. This is why. Because we're hypocrites. We're frauds. And we sit there and we are the dumbest people alive. We give our money in the name of tithes and offerings. And we just let the people do whatever they want with it. All under this false notion, oh, well, God is going to give it all back to you. I mean, you got to be the dumbest people alive. No wonder they laugh at you. You let guys like this fraud, John Gray, get away with everything. And you think people like me are the reason why people don't want to come to Christianity? They don't want to come to Christ? Oprah mocks God on Stephen Colbert's show. Now, this is supposed to be lighthearted. This really isn't that serious. But actually, yes, it really is. Recently, Oprah Winfrey appeared on Stephen Colbert's show. Stephen Colbert is a talk show host. He's a comedian. He made his real living off of mocking Bill O'Reilly off Fox News, the former Fox News host. And that's how Stephen Colbert's shtick is. He used to be a correspondent on Jon Stewart's Daily Show. So for those of you who did not, who was born yesterday, that's who Stephen Colbert is. Now, Oprah Winfrey appeared on the Stephen Colbert Show to self-promote. She was asked if she'd consider running for president, where she stated that she wouldn't because she's really in tune with the voice of God. And she ain't feeling it. Lord have mercy.
It was at this point when a mocking projection of God wearing Oprah 2020 gear appeared on the ceiling in the studio when Oprah and Colbert took turns mocking him. "Oprah knows who I am. I can't wait to tell Jesus," in a mocking voice. "Any chance I could get a Bible in your book club?" Blasphemy. Pure blasphemy. There's nothing funny about that. Absolutely nothing funny. And think about it. The pure audacity of these people to think that that was okay. The audacity of it. It's disgusting. So for those of you alleged Christians who claim to still be supporting stuff like Oprah Winfrey, there you have it. This comes from opendoorsusa.org. 5 major trends influencing global persecution. Now, you can go read the entire article because I only want to focus on article number 5 or number 5, as it were, which is more laws added to control religion. As you have all known, on almost every podcast, I have talked about China. I have talked about the persecution of China and of the Chinese Christians by China. And anybody who's awake knows that China is implementing a command and control system to control their citizenry through technology. Now, they are especially going after Christians, raiding Christians' homes, destroying their churches, creating all kinds of laws and rules where it would be impossible for a Christian to maintain that rule or whatever, and then that would allow these people to then come in and say, well, you violated this rule, so now your church must be destroyed. So that's what's happening. And so under point 5, more laws added to control religion. Let me just read this verbatim. State authoritarianism is increasing in many parts of the world, supported by the ever-spreading availability of personal digital technology, which governs and can increasingly track through facial recognition, electronic chips, and so on. Places like Vietnam, Myanmar, China, and North Korea all saw increases in stricter state control of religious rights. The trend is most clearly seen in China, where new regulations for religious affairs came into force on February the 1st, 2018. Then a focus on prohibiting children and youth from hearing religious teaching has seen nursery and Sunday schools closed down, summer camps banned, and churches forced to place signs at the entrance forbidding anyone under 18 to enter. This policy has been in place for years, but has rarely been enforced until now. Churches registered in the state-controlled 3 self-patriotic movement now find themselves bearing the brunt of regulations such as having to install closed circuit or CCTV cameras. As noted above, in September, Beijing's largest house church, Zion, with 1,500 members, was shut down for refusing to install CCTV cameras facing the congregation. The official reason was illegal meetings held by an unauthorized church group in an unregistered building. The same state authoritarianism also pressures Christians in Vietnam. The law on belief and religion, the country's first ever law on religions since Vietnam was reunified under communist rule in 1975, came into force in January 2018. Number 18, or 18 on their list of the most persecuted, or the countries where Christians are the most persecuted, this is the Myanmar district. State authoritarianism combines with nationalism. More than 100,000 members of a majority Christian ethnic tribe, the Karen, remain in refugee camps just across the border in Thailand. Meanwhile, thousands have been killed, at least 120,000 displaced in majority Christian Kachin state. Recently, Myanmar's largest ethnic militia, the United Wa State Army, or the UWSA, declared almost all churches built after the Communist Party's 1989 collapse must be destroyed. No new churches will be allowed. This is what's happening in America, and I mean not in America, but in other countries, and that stuff is coming to this country. The persecution is subtle here, but it's ratcheting it up. It's getting more and more and more. And lastly, I promised you more Donald Trump. I promised you a clip from this YouTuber. His name is Mark Dice. What is this clip about? Well, this week what happened was that there was this big story about this guy, Michael Cohen, who used to work for Donald Trump. And allegedly, this was a report from a liberal piece of garbage called BuzzFeed. And BuzzFeed reported that Michael Cohen had stated that Donald Trump told him to lie to Congress, which, of course, is an impeachable offense. Now, without any evidence, they just ran with it. They just completely ran with it. And so, from 2:30 to about 7:30, everybody believed it. One newscast after the next kept going on and on. If it's the truth, this is impeachable. But then at 7:30, Robert Mueller, this is the president investigating Trump collusion or whatever, right? Trump-Russia collusion. The special counsel's office had to put out a tweet saying, that's not true. That is a lie. But the story had to live for 5 hours. 5 hours. So 5 hours of absolute lie and speculation. Do you know how many people probably did not hear that other side of it? And that's the point of it. That's why Trump calls this stuff fake news. That's why I hate politics. Hate politics. But instead of me going on and on and on, I think Mark Dice does an excellent job here. He's a YouTuber. Mark Dice, M-A-R-K-D-I-C-E. And he does excellent videos on the country. He's definitely a Trump supporter. So you're going to hear him comment about the fake news of the day. You're going to hear him play clip after clip. He's going to comment. It's about 4.5 minutes. And that's how I'm going to end the show. So you won't hear me come back. Once the clip is over, you're going to hear the outro. And that's going to be it. So signing off of the Truth Stand. This is the Luminary saying you can chase a lot all over the world. But the truth, it stands where it stands. I present to you Mark Dice.
Help, I'm drowning. I'm drowning in all these liberal tears.
Friday is usually a slow news day, but not yesterday. The liberal media were in a frenzy, falsely believing for the 100th time that they finally found the evidence that proved President Trump committed obstruction of justice, and he would finally be impeached. BuzzFeed reported that they had the proof that the president directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress about previous plans to build the Trump Tower in Russia.
If this BuzzFeed news report is true, that the special counsel has evidence beyond just Michael Cohen's testimony that the president directed his former personal attorney to lie to Congress, then we are likely on our way to possible impeachment proceedings.
If it were to be true, it means the president told someone to lie under oath, which very simply is a crime and is impeachable.
If this story is true, we must begin impeachment proceedings.
If you can prove that the president ordered it, that certainly rises to the level of impeachable offense.
We're going to know if the president of the United States committed a federal felony, and at that point we are in high crimes and misdemeanor, and we are in impeachment territory.
Right. Is that an impeachable offense?
This is suborning perjury. I think there's no question it's an impeachable offense.
That is considered an impeachable offense.
Absolutely, these are impeachable offenses.
Inside that answer, I did hear the I word impeachable.
Democrats will move maybe faster, maybe more aggressively toward impeachment.
There are an awful lot of similarities between a couple of the articles of impeachment against Nixon and the elements of this story.
This poor BuzzFeed article got all the Democrats' hopes up, even Dan Rather, who apparently has Wi-Fi in the nursing home, who said that the walls appear to be closing in on Trump. Are you really sure, Mr. BuzzFeed reporter, that your story is accurate?
I'll just say that we've seen documents, we've been briefed on documents, we're very confident in our reporting.
At the end of the day, when every Democrat in the country thought that their nightmare was over and that President Trump would soon be leaving the White House, Robert Mueller's office released a statement debunking BuzzFeed's story, saying it's not accurate. Everyone at CNN looked like they were going to cry. Look at the face of their senior legal analyst, Jeffrey Toobin, and whoever the hell this lady is. And oh, there's little Brian Stelter.
This is the larger message that a lot of people are going to take from this story is that the news media are a bunch of leftist liars who are dying to get the president and they're willing to lie to do it.
I just think this is a bad day for us. And you know, there's no, I mean, I don't know, Brian, you seem to disagree a little bit. But I just think, you know, it reinforces every bad stereotype about the news media.
It does reinforce bad stereotypes about the news media. I agree with you.
It's just a bad stereotype that the mainstream media spreads fake news.
Mueller didn't do the media any favors tonight, and he did do the president one. Because as you saw with Rudy Giuliani, and as I'm sure you'll see with the president himself, this allows them to say, you can't believe it. You can't believe what you read. You can't believe what you hear. You can only believe us. Even the special counsel says that the media doesn't get it right.
Shouldn't BuzzFeed get banned from Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube? I thought social media companies were cracking down on those kind of fake news accounts.
That's the definition of a liberal Christian. I'm not a Christian artist, I'm an artist that's a Christian. What you're really saying is that you're hoping that you're praying that these naive Christians don't catch you compromising. But you want the secular to think you're enterprising. You don't want the truth, you want to get the diamonds, the money, the juice, and the fame of being popular. But you still need the church just to validate you. And they won't say a thing because they were taught not to judge. By heretics with a humanistic view of love. This right here must be done with reverence and fear. If you want self-expression, then get a new career. If you want the money, just renounce Christianity. While you half-stepping, homie, just forget about eternity. And sign a contract with Jay-Z and P. Diddy. And go for your goals, just leave behind your soul. But don't you call it Christianity if it ain't set apart. Son, I just judge your roots, I don't care about your heart. I don't mean no harm, but sounding